Good afternoon, dear brethren, and welcome. I'm not giving the welcome address, but and I'm also not Brother David, as you might have noticed. I'm Brother Peter, and I'm filling in for him today. He's got an exciting event coming shortly, and we're glad for them. And we'd like to open the convention with the singing of the theme hymn. And this is hymn 122, Christ Our Passover, hymn number 122. Ask Brother Harry Wildblood to open the convention with prayer.
Brother Harry. Dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy and precious name. Dear Father, we give thee thanks for this wonderful opportunity to be at convention. We give thee thanks for the sacrifice of thy dear Son and the wonderful privilege of knowing thy truth and being a part of thy plan. We ask thy blessing that we be prepared to receive the blessings you have for us during this convention. We pray a blessing on our dear brethren, those who will be with us and those who will not be able to be with us. We pray earnestly that thy kingdom would come and that thy will would be done. And we place all things in thy care and keeping, and it's through Jesus' most precious name we pray.
Thank you, Brother Harry. And, of course, we have the welcome address next by my father and brother in Christ, Brother Lawrence Kirkham.
Thank you, Peter. Well, thank you all for coming. You're very welcome. And we're pleased to see you all here. And we really welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what a privilege to do so. Now we claim today the promise that where two or three are gathered together, our Lord will be in our midst to bless. And we have many more than three here. This convention, this room for this convention is holy ground, sanctified by the presence of His Holy Spirit and His Spirit-begotten children. So let us conduct ourselves. Now many who formerly walked among us have passed to the other side recently. We miss them deeply. But in the words of John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. And we rejoice for them. Now we appreciate your presence with us. Sacrifices have been made, personal preferences set aside, and we thank you. Conventions have been held in Seattle for over 100 years. Seattle's not a young city, or old city, excuse me. It incorporated around the year 1889, about the same time as the state of Washington was introduced into the Union as a state. It had been previously a territory. In September 1916, Pastor Russell attended the Seattle Convention shortly before his death. The photodrama was shown daily. His public discourse attracted thousands. His subject was World on Fire, and it was enthusiastically received, even by one of the newspaper writers. In 1930, the Associated Bible Students held a general convention in Seattle at a small AOUW hall on 9th Avenue. This is where the Bible students were meeting when I came into the truth and consecrated. It was a room about half the size of this room, and it held that convention. The glory days were past. Pastor Russell and his calm, sweet, unifying influence was gone. The brethren pondered where they were on the stream of time and what they should do. Many considered the door closed. And you will recognize some of the speakers at this convention. I'll read the speaker list to you. John Moore, Vancouver, B.C. August Swanson, Seattle, Washington. A.J. Terrell, Vancouver, B.C. A. Porter, Seattle, Washington. Brother P.E. Askelson of Tacoma. Brother H.J. Brown of Portland, not the Harvey Brown we know now. Also attending were Brother Isaac F. Hoskins from New York. Brother B.E. Schultz from Seattle. Brother W.A. Baker from Portland. Brother William McCune from Vancouver. Brother Fred Schultz was the convention chairman. Brother N.M. Luton from Portland was there. Brother C.W. McCoy from Spokane. And there was a brother, V.G. Snashel of Portland. I don't remember that name. And a brother, another brother, Leroy from Portland. Well, I may have left some off, but maybe you enjoyed this trip down memory lane. Many of these brethren were brethren who had been very faithful to the truth. Some of them believed the door was closed, but many others did not. In 1940, several classes united in Seattle to hold a convention. This is 10 years later. Brother Zeno gave the public discourse. A showing of the photodrama was attempted. The old equipment just wouldn't hold together to show a photodrama anymore. But they tried. Rachel Rice and Eunice Liske provided the music. They were Swansons then. In 1948, when I consecrated, I looked at the signs of the Lord's second presence and thought, now the kingdom would come at any time. Israel was back in the land as a nation, 1948. Man could now destroy himself unless restrained by God with the development and use of the atomic bomb in 1945. No flesh could withstand such an instrument of war. The two great wars attested to a time of struggle such as never was since there was a nation. On a good day, only 5,000 died. On a bad day, 50,000. We complain about 2,000 or 3,000 in our wars today in several years, different times. The United Nations was formed to hold the old order together. The Jubilee trumpet blown, and everywhere men were clamoring for their real and fancied rights. The world had seen war, revolution, and anarchy. Couldn't be long now. And now it is year 2006. We're still here. 207 years into the time of the end. 132 years into the millennial age and the times of restitution. 92 years into the time of trouble. Yet the three great anchor dates of God's plan stand firm. 1799, 1874, and 1914. Amen. Why was I so wrong in 1948? Well, brethren, I was looking at world developments as signs. Signs that the Lord was present and the kingdom was near. And I was wrong. What I failed to see was that the signs were more than signs. They were evidences of the Lord's activities as earth's rightful king. The signs were produced by the incoming kingdom activity. The new post-1914 world was the product of kingdom building. The kingdom was amongst man unknown as at the first advent, an unseen presence working on an unseen kingdom project. We are many years into this time of the end, times of restitution, millennial age, and time of trouble. It is a test of faith. But on the other hand, many of us have witnessed a lifetime of prophecy and fulfillment, wonderful fulfillments above the most utopian dreams and imaginations. Oh, when I was about 8 years old, I wanted a Dick Tracy watch, a radio watch. Why, today that'd be an old clunker. I just took down an old television set, old tape recorders, old this, old that, things that would have been wonderful inventions just 50 years ago. Took them down to the recycle. I had to pay people to dispose of them. That's the way it is now. Things moving so fast. Last Sunday, Brother David, who was unable to attend our convention, gave a talk listing many mega trends in world affairs that give evidence of the Lord's reign begun and kingdom blessings beginning and increasingly flowing to mankind in the beginning of his day of judgment and blessing. These trends strengthen our faith in God's divine plan that all is in order and on time. We are disappointed, but where we are disappointed is in this, that mankind proudly takes to themselves credit for the benefits that have really come from our returned Lord, the increase of knowledge and cheap, rapid transportation and communication. They take credit for what God is doing. This March 10, there was an article in the Seattle Times, and it says, we report a great surprise. Only 20% of men are working past the age of 65. In 1950, half of men 65 and older were working or looking for work. Today, fewer than 20% are still working. Why? Men have the means to retire earlier because of all the wealth and leisure provided by the incoming kingdom blessings. Men are living longer and working less. In 1900, life expectancy was 47.3 years. In 1970, 70.8 years in 2,077 years and rising. Not too long ago, people, particularly men, worked until they were physically unable to work. Mankind is trending toward the end result of the millennium without knowing it. Luke 17:20-21. And having been asked by the Pharisees, when is the kingdom of God coming? He answered them and said, this is from Darby version, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for the behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. Brethren, we are not waiting for the kingdom. It is in our midst. We are waiting for the manifestation of the kingdom in a manner that the world can see and understand. It is a matter of faith. Revelation 3:11. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. We welcome all of you. We urge you all to stand fast. We look forward to seeing you on the other side, engaged arm in arm with a work that is unbelievably great and difficult. That is the work of restoring mankind to that which was lost in Adam. Now there is a real project, and you and I, if faithful, will not only have the privilege of doing it, but we will be up to the task, or we won't be there. May God bless you all. I think I'm on time, Russ. I didn't take any of it of yours, I hope. God bless you. May the convention be a blessing to all of us. Welcome.